began to read at verse 9 quite a bit since we retired from our pulpit responsibility, pastoring almost just over 4 years ago now, and we've been moving around from church to church. Currently, we are in a small church setting things in order for the last number of weeks because they are in a pastoral change. And so pray for us. Yesterday I got a call that somebody had passed away suddenly from the congregation, so pray for them today. Okay, beginning to read at verse 9 of John chapter 1. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamon, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and hell. Write, therefore, what you have seen. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning again for your word. And I thank you for this congregation that is assembled here to worship you and to hear your word. Thank you for them. Lord, evidently within their hearts this morning there is a desire to come before your presence to worship you and to meet with you, our God. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that you've sent to be with us, Lord. And not just to be with us, but to indwell us and to empower us. And we pray this morning for the empowerment of your Holy Spirit. We pray for guidance. We pray for clarity of thought. We pray for the anointing of your Spirit as we minister your word this morning, O God. And we pray that your people will respond. And today they will sense a fresh touch of the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said, I have four services to be with you assigned, and I respect that. It's always an awesome assignment to minister the Word of God. And the emphasis is on the Holy Spirit. And the pastor said, particularly on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. This morning, I want to talk to you about fresh immersion in the Spirit. This evening, we will talk specifically about baptism in the Holy Spirit. But this passage that I've read to you this morning is essentially about an immersion or a baptism in the Holy Spirit. Our key text for this morning is found in verse 10 that we read to you. And John is on the island of Patmos, and he says, on the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. And as we look at this passage of Scripture, I want to talk to you about a fresh experience of being immersed into the power of the Holy Spirit. When we were school kids a long time ago, we used to recite or play a little game that something like musical chairs. And the words of it went, when you're in, you're in. And when you're out. And when you're halfway's in, you're neither in nor out. And I feel that that is a lot like a lot of Pentecostals today. Now, I'm not going to come down hard on Pentecostals. I am one of them. But I believe that the Pentecostal movement was raised up by God and has been one of the greatest revivals that the church has known since the day of Pentecost that has swept across the entire globe. And however, we are now into the third and fourth generation of Pentecostals. And I believe some of us that call ourselves Pentecostal don't know if we're in or out. And sometimes I think in the practical living aspect of enjoying the dynamics of the Holy Spirit that maybe we're halfway's in and we don't know if we're in or out. Now, we look at this text this morning. John, the Apostle John, many years after the day of Pentecost, says, on the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. You know, as Pentecostals, we say we believe that through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving him as our Savior, we are born again. We all know the scriptures well. John chapter 1 and 12, to as many as received him, he gave the power, the right to be the Son of God. And John 3:16, that familiar one, God so loved the world. And Romans 10 and 9, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. We believe that. But if you sincerely and honestly repent of your sin and turn to God by faith, receive Christ, but we are saved. That is the basic condition for salvation. But we also believe that we enter into a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And we believe at the time that we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, that the Holy Spirit also comes to dwell within. And there is a twofold relationship in that experience that we have with the Holy Spirit. A twofold phenomena of the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives and also working in our lives. We believe that at that time of conversion, as John chapter 14 and 17 says, Jesus himself promising that the Spirit of truth who lives with you, he said, but he will be in you. And Paul writing to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, he says, you are God's temple and God's Holy Spirit is dwelling within you. What an awesome truth. What an awesome reality that God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, dwells within us and we become literally temples of the Holy Spirit. An awesome thought to consider. Now, what we need to understand is that you cannot have Jesus or God the Father without having the Holy Spirit. Sometimes, not intentionally, but it almost appears that we fragment the Godhead. We believe in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but they are not three separate persons. And so you cannot have Jesus and not have the Holy Spirit. When you receive Jesus, you receive the Holy Spirit. Now, sometimes there is, you know, a misunderstanding between the Pentecostals and other denominations, for they say, we receive the Spirit when we got saved. What are you talking about? You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, I believe that the Bible goes on to give us another truth about our relationship with the Holy Spirit. We become temples of God, and God's Holy Spirit dwells within us at conversion. You cannot have Jesus and not have the Holy Spirit. You cannot have the Father and not have the Son. You cannot have the Father and the Son without having the Holy Spirit. So no argument there. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us. He is a person, and he comes to dwell within us when we receive Christ as our Savior. The other truth is you cannot have more of the Holy Spirit at one time than you do another. So being immersed or baptized in the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that you have more of the Holy Spirit at that time than you do when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, because the Holy Spirit is a person. And as a person, you either have him or you do not have him. So we'll touch on that as we go along or through the next two or three services. And so that's the dynamic of the Holy Spirit, the phenomena that he dwells within us. The second part of that is being immersed into the Holy Spirit. We also believe that there is solid biblical truth that the believer not only receives the Holy Spirit to come and dwell within him at conversion, but the believer also can and should and needs to be immersed into the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, that is quite a different matter than having the person of the Holy Spirit come to dwell within. You see, many times in the Bible, the Holy Spirit is referred to as a river or as water, an abundance of water being poured out like water. And so it is quite a different thing, you see, if somebody, and I have a glass of water here somewhere this morning, but if somebody gives me a glass of water and tells me that that's the water of the river, and I drink the water, and I need it now. And that's the water of the river. Well, I truthfully have the water of the river within me. And I can truthfully say that. But that's a completely different matter than if I went down to the source of the water. And I don't know what the source of this water is. If I did, I probably wouldn't drink it. But anyways, it's quite a different matter than going down to the river bank where that water is taken from, and plunging into that river and being completely overflowed by it and experiencing the power and the dynamics and the force of the river. Quite a different matter than having the water of the river in me. Well, that's sort of an illustration of what it means to be immersed into the power of the Holy Spirit. It is exactly the same as the difference of having the water in you and you being in the water. And so being immersed into the Spirit is not about how much of the Spirit that you have. It is about how much of you the Holy Spirit has. And therein lies the problem. Therein lies the problem. Many of us do not want to surrender our lives totally and fully to the Holy Spirit and to be carried along in that mighty rushing river of the energy of God's powerful, almighty Holy Spirit, and to be directed by him. And that's what immersion is about. Now, I speak on this subject this morning because it is my observation as I move around that a lot of God's people that were one time, quote, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they have a testimony that they are baptized in the Holy Spirit, maybe 20 years ago or 10 years ago or whatever. But they have looked at it, or it seems to be, as a one-time experience. And at that time, they experienced the dynamics and the power and the wonderful experience of being immersed into the Holy Spirit for the first time. And they spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. But then they settled back, and today they are no longer enjoying the dynamics of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And so I believe, you may correct me, it may not be like that in Dartmouth, but I believe there's a need for God's people, for people, you know, who have been baptized in the Spirit in their earlier Christian experience, to get back in the river again. And the reason why a lot of our young people are not experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit is they see too many of God's people that are settled back and they've become carnal. Now, I say it like it is, okay? They become carnal, and sometimes they are the last ones that you can get a move of the Holy Spirit from. Listen, if there's anybody that should be enjoying the dynamics of the Holy Spirit, it is you that has experienced it in past moves of God. So my challenge to you this morning is open up your life afresh. What I would like to see before we leave this service this morning is a fresh move of the Holy Spirit. And when you leave this service today, that every one of you, like John on the Isle of Patmos, would say on this Lord's Day, I was in the Spirit. I was in the Spirit. And friends, that is the dynamics that we need to enjoy. And let me move on. Now, you're going to have difficulty following me on that overhead, I'm sure. So the second dynamic of our relationship with the Holy Spirit is that we believe that we can be immersed into the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the first time that that happens is referred to as the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And it's very biblical. It's just as biblical as the truths about being born again. You know, Acts chapter 1 and verse 5, the Lord Jesus said to them specifically, you will be baptized into the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 3 and verse 13, John in his preaching, you know, introduces Jesus. And he says, I baptize you with water. I take you out into the water, maybe to your waist in the River Jordan, and there I have you crouch, I press your head down, and you go completely underneath the water. I baptize you into the water, but he will baptize you into the Holy Spirit. Okay, so very biblical. Now, I said we as Pentecostals say we believe it. And the reason why I've already explained. I believe because now we have settled back. We've come of age. But I really believe that the church is at the point, our Pentecostal fellowship is at the point when we need to experience afresh the dynamics of the Holy Spirit. If not, we are going to get lost under the umbrella of Christianity, and we won't anymore enjoy the distinctives that historically we have known as being a movement that is moved forward by the mighty energy and power of the Holy Spirit. And others looked upon us and they said, they are moving and growing because they believe. Billy Graham made that statement a few years ago in the dynamics of the Spirit. Okay, let me come back to the context of our text, okay? I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. You see, I use this text to focus on the truth of what I've been talking about, what I feel the Lord is saying to us this morning. You see, John is now an old man. It's been a long journey since the days of Pentecost. He was involved in the dynamics of Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost. And he's been an active participant in the fulfillment of the promise of Jesus, you will receive power after that the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He was familiar with what had happened, how after Jesus was risen from the dead, and there was nothing left but a cross on the hill. And so they were all scared and all frightened and hiding out. And even although Jesus had met them with them for 40 days, and they had the truth, they had the theology, they knew that he was risen, they had seen the risen Lord, but they were human and they were scared. And so they all went back to their fishing boats where he had met them in the beginning. They had gone back, they had withdrawn, and they were afraid. And Jesus had told them not to try to do anything until the Holy Spirit came. And then Jesus met with them. You remember that by the seashore of Galilee that morning, they had gone back and he had to reinstate Peter's faith. And then they met in the upper room. And John was part of that when the power of the Holy Spirit came into that place and they were transformed by the mighty power of God. And so John became a key player in the dynamics of the Holy Spirit in the early days of the growth of the church. You know, he saw the conversion of people like Saul of Tarsus. He experienced the day that him and Peter was walking into the temple, and the man that was lame from his birth was there. And he was there with Peter when they reached out their hand and said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the man went leaping and shouting and praising God because the power of the life-giving, energizing Holy Spirit came upon him, and his bones were received strength, and he was healed by the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the dynamics of the Holy Spirit. That's what happened to your esophagus, my brother. It was the power and the energy of the life-giving Holy Spirit, hallelujah, that came to you as Jesus, the healer, ministered to you. Yes, he enjoyed all of that phenomenal growth of the church. He gave leadership against false teaching and false spirit. In John, in his letter to the church, he says, I am writing those things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. In John chapter, in 2 John chapter 4 and 1, he writes to the church and says, test the spirits that you may know that they are from God, because there are many false spirits out there in the world. And listen this morning, church, to me. If we are not submissive to the Holy Spirit and to the truths of the Word of God, we are in the position where we can be fooled by false spirits. And it's happening in the world tonight, today, and it's happening in the church. That's why we need the real dynamics of the power of the real Holy Spirit of God, and not some cuckoo stuff that we don't know what we're talking about. Let God be God among us, and we don't have to be afraid of the real dynamics of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Yes, and so John says, I'm writing to you to set those. So he's a part of the leadership, the dynamics of leadership in the Holy Spirit. And so from the upper room, he's been moved along by the mighty wind of the Holy Spirit that blew upon them first in the upper room. But now, he is writing from a different perspective in our text. Now he is on Patmos. He says, I am John, your brother. I have experienced tribulation. I have experienced pain. I have experienced persecution. I have experienced loneliness. And he's on the island, exiled from his friends, exiled from the church. Some people think that he was maybe in a Roman slave labor camp, working the salt mines on the island of Patmos. It's probably 50 years from the day of Pentecost, and he's going through this suffering. And I'm probably speaking to some of you here this morning. Yes, you're able to look back to your day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon you and the dynamics were powerful and wonderful. When you saw people healed by the power of God. When you experienced in your own life the mighty dynamics of God's Holy Spirit. But life has moved along and you've endured some of the pain, some of the loneliness, some of the persecution. And as life is dragged along and the experiences of life, and maybe you're here this morning and you're younger and the same thing has happened to you, it has taken its toll. And in the midst of the difficult situations of life, the devil's whispered into your heart and said, are you sure? Are you sure that it was real? And the devil does that in the times of discouragement and pain. And John says, listen to what he says. I am your brother in suffering and in patience and endurance. But I like what he goes on to say. I am still in Jesus Christ. And I'm here because of the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's why I'm enduring this suffering. And then he goes on to say, and I don't know what the dynamics of his situation was, but he says, while he's there in Patmos going through this experience, he says, on the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. Now, sometimes we look at what John is writing here. We read the Bible, you know, and we sort of look at it and we say, that's happening right now and John is writing it down. It wasn't like that. It wasn't like that. You will notice that it's in the past tense. He says, I was in the Spirit. What is happening in the record that we have in the Bible is that later John takes his pen and he begins to write it as Jesus had ordered him. He had the experience, and now he is writing about the experience that he had on Patmos. And now it's about 50 years, as I said, maybe from Pentecost, and he's going through this terrible time. And you know, from the natural, you would have a tendency to say, it is not fair, this great man of God. Why is he shut away from his friends? Why is he exiled from the church? And I don't know what is happening in John's mind, but I kind of think that on the Lord's day, he was remembering that the church is getting together now. He was thinking about that maybe, and thinking maybe, why am I here? Would I not love to be somewhere in one of the congregations that I've ministered to on this day when I'm here and in pain and in suffering? But then something changes the perspective. And John says, and I don't know how suddenly it happened, but suddenly he's coming from another perspective. And he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me the voice as the sound of a trumpet. And so what has happened, that the perspective suddenly becomes changed. And everything that he records after that is because he was in the Spirit. Comes from a little Greek word that's used so often in the Bible. And it is en. It means to be in. It means a position. And suddenly something has happened. The same thing that happened on the day of Pentecost. Suddenly John is immersed into the power of the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, in the power of the Holy Spirit, you see things from a different perspective, and you understand from a different perspective. Listen to what he says. He says, as you read down the passage, on the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard the voice of Jesus. I heard the voice, a great voice behind me. Friends, this morning, there's a lot of voices speaking in the world. In your community here in the Halifax region, there is 15,000 Islamic believers that has targeted the Halifax area as a missionary field. And they are into key positions in your learning centers, in the universities. They are into key positions in various places and trying to get influence in the government. That is where we live this morning. All kinds of voices, religious voices, political voices, all of them speaking. But what the church needs to hear as never before this morning is the voice of Jesus. And it is in the Spirit, my friend, that you hear the voice of Jesus. It is the Holy Spirit that makes his word alive and real to us. The dynamics of his Spirit. And so John says, I was in the Spirit. And in the Spirit, I heard the voice of Jesus. He says, I was in the Spirit. And in the Spirit, I saw the person of Jesus. Look at his description of him. John had seen him on the cross. John had seen him with his body broken when he was put into the grave. But now he sees him, and he has seen him as resurrected, as the resurrected Lord when he entered the room. But now he sees him totally different. And you read the passage and you will see the glorified, exalted person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we see when we're immersed into the Spirit. And he says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet and I worshiped him. You want real worship? You want real worship? Let God's people be immersed into the power of the Holy Spirit. And under that influence of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit, you will hear Jesus speaking to you. And you will see the glorified, exalted Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you see him and when you hear him, you will fall on your knees before him. And like the angels, you will cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You will see the glorified Jesus. And don't tell me this morning about the church. Don't need to see him. Now, I don't know if this is what you wanted or not, Pastor. But I feel a burning in my heart. You see, John is 50 years beyond Pentecost. And now he's testifying about those same dynamics of the Spirit that I experienced back there. I am now experiencing them again. Let me ask you this morning, are you still experiencing the dynamics of the Holy Spirit that you experience the day, the night, the moment, whatever, that you were baptized in the Holy Spirit? And if not, why not? Maybe you're like John. Circumstances has come into your life that you've not been able to put them into perspective, and you want, but the Holy Spirit will. You need to submit again afresh, and you need a fresh immersion into the dynamics of the Spirit. Now let me move on. So what is the Spirit saying to us from the evident truth we see in this text this morning? If John, maybe 50 years after Pentecost, is stating that his ministry was the result of being in the Spirit. Now you get the truth that I'm saying. His ministry. You notice what he says. I was on Patmos, I was in pain, I was in tribulation. But I was in the Spirit. And then, from then on, the ministry that he's giving to us is out of the Spirit. Is out of the Spirit. And he said, I heard the voice of Jesus saying, write. And so we discover that John is not just a victim of circumstances. He is not just a Roman prisoner on the Isle of Patmos. But we discover that the Lord of the church has him there for a unique assignment. And you see, that's the way it is. When we move in the dynamics of the Holy Spirit, we are not victims of circumstances. We are being led. We commit our lives to the Lord. We are being led along by that mighty wind and move of the Spirit of God. And so this is what is happening to John. Now he understands it. Now the full picture is seen by him. And Jesus is saying to him, now, John, write. Write those things that you've known about, the things that were, the things that are happening, and the things that are to come. I've got the final revelation of my word, John, and you are my instrument as you move in the dynamics of the Holy Spirit to record this for the church so that the church 2,000 years from now will know that in the midst of difficulties and what seem to be human chaotic conditions, that you can experience the power and the dynamics of the Holy Spirit, and you can rise above the circumstances, and you can minister in the power of the Holy Ghost. Now that's what your church needs. That's what my church needs. That's what you need as an individual. That's what I need as an individual. You see, God never intended the initial immersion into the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost to be a one-shot deal. He never intended it to be. I think that as Pentecostals, sometimes we've misrepresented that truth. And we have sort of taken the notion, and many times many of us have lived that way. And we seek God and pray and submit our lives and purify our temple by the blood of Jesus. And God comes to us, and we are immersed into the power of the Holy Spirit as we totally surrender to him. And then we take the notion, I've got it. That's it. That's the apex of my Christian experience, but it's not. It's the opening of a great door through which you walk in the dynamics of the Holy Spirit. And from then on, God wants it to be a repeated experience in your life. You say, oh, just a minute now, preacher. Doesn't the Bible say that there's only one baptism? Yes, it does. There's only one initial moment in your life when you are immersed into the Holy Spirit for the first time. Now, get what I'm talking about. Gave you the illustration of going down to the river and plunging into the river and feeling its power and the force of the river, being completely saturated by the river for the first time. So if I go down again and plunge in the river, I can't have that first time experience again. You cannot ever have the first time experience again. Okay? For the first time. But you can have repeated experiences that are exactly the same dynamics and the same power. And that's what John was experiencing on the Isle of Patmos. So you that are here this morning, that's folded your arms, if you have, God bless you, and I love all of you, you know. But you folded your arms and say, thank God I was baptized in the Holy Spirit 20 years ago. I'm asking you, where are you this morning? Where are you this morning? Another message, hopefully, the next few hours, I will be speaking somewhere along those lines, because I see a lot of people that can say, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit 20 years ago, but oh man, there's carnalness as bed bugs. That's a relative term, isn't it? Yeah. Yes. Yes. Biting each other, you know. And so that's the question I'm addressing this morning. How many of you here this morning has experienced an immersion into the Holy Spirit, the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Put your hands up. Let me see how many of you. Yeah, hallelujah. Hallelujah to God. Well, what you should be, if you don't mind me saying so this morning, a credible witness to the generation that is now coming up to the reality of that power of the Holy Spirit. God never intended it to be a one-time experience. Look at the record. John chapter 20 and 22, the Bible says, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Acts 2 and 4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 4 and 8, Peter and John filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 4 and 31, the place where they were meeting was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. The truth is this morning, folks, is that John, Peter, Paul, Stephen, the deacons, all of the leaders in the early church movement, the record shows that all of them experienced the dynamics of the Holy Spirit, which began on the day of Pentecost, but it was a continual thing that went on day after day and month after month and year after year. And 50 years later, John is saying, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And this is what Paul is saying to the Ephesians when he writes to them in Ephesians 5 and 18. And he said, being filled with the Spirit, a continual process. And that's what our relationship with the Holy Spirit is. You see, somewhere along the way, I believe the devil has robbed many of us of the dynamics of Holy Spirit living and Holy Spirit worship. We want the Holy Spirit in our worship. We want the Holy Spirit to control our worship. Everything that we do in the church should be under the control of the Holy Spirit. You see, we have made the immersion into the Holy Spirit a one-time thing. And then we sit back and coast on a past experience, and we try to live on yesterday's manna. And you know what that's like. It stinks, frankly. It stinks. That's what the children of Israel discovered. God wants us to enjoy the freshness of the dynamics of the Holy Spirit daily. So let me ask you the question this morning, how long has it been since you were in the Spirit? Now, it doesn't mean that you have to dance all over the church. It doesn't even mean that you have to speak in other tongues. That's up to the Holy Spirit. But what it means is that you have to be totally submissive to and your life totally open, and everything that you are and every sin in your life washed in the blood of Jesus. And that doesn't take a month to happen. That can happen in seconds as you are surrendered totally to the Holy Spirit. That's what it means. And whether you speak in tongues or dance, you leave that with God and the Holy Spirit. Your responsibility is to be completely and totally submissive and surrendered to him and be immersed into his power. So how long since you've been in the Spirit? And our service is our worship. Is what we say? Is that all it is? Is it just what is written in our Constitution that we believe this? But are we practicing it? Are we enjoying those dynamics? In the days of the judges, when confusion reigned because of the previous generation, because the previous generation only had a story of the past, Gideon asked a relevant question for his time, and it's relevant for today. He said, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us, and where are all the wonders that our fathers told us about? If what we say and preach as Pentecostals is real and true and is the Word of God, why are we hiding out? Why aren't we enjoying the dynamics of the Holy Spirit? Those of us who are baptized in the Holy Spirit have an obligation to those who are not. We should be exhibiting a spirit of worship that brings an atmosphere where the dynamics of the Holy Spirit are at work. Our young people deserve a credible witness to the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So is being in the Spirit a past memory for you this morning? How long since you prayed in the Spirit? Now, I didn't say pray in other tongues. That's a part of praying in the Spirit. Didn't Paul say the Spirit helps our infirmities in that we know not how to pray as we ought, but he makes intercession through us? How long since you prayed in the Spirit? How long since you sang in the Spirit? I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with my understanding. What's he talking about? He's talking about a dynamic of the Spirit that takes you beyond the physical and takes you beyond your human limitations, and your worship is in the Spirit. How long has it been since you worshiped in the Spirit? How long since you rejoiced in the Spirit as Mary did when she said, my soul doth rejoice in the Lord. How long? How long has it been since you spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave utterance? How long since you prophesied in the Spirit? You say, well, that's some mystical thing. No, no, no. I hope that's what I'm doing this morning. Prophesying in the Spirit, proclaiming the truth of God's Word. What is your spiritual contribution to your corporal worship when you come together and one has a song and one has a tongue, one has an interpretation, but all things are done in the order that the Holy Spirit dominates? How long has it been? That's all New Testament dynamics of the Spirit that I've been mentioning. Now, I don't know the answer to that this morning. You do. But I know there are evident signs around us of spiritual stagnation. What does that mean? It means that that which was meant to be living and vibrant is dead. It means just like the holy anointing oil that was allowed to gather dead flies, stank and became rancid. Ecclesiastes 10 and 1. It means that just like the water of the Spirit was to be inflow and outflow, alive and living, John chapter 7, the living water that I give you will be a river of water, and out of your innermost being will flow rivers. Means if that is not moving and flowing, it becomes stagnant. We become spiritually stagnant. It means that just like the manna that they were commanded to go and gather every morning fresh from God, and you try to live on yesterday's manna, see this morning as I close, you cannot find anywhere in this Bible where God is an as-been God. You cannot find it. Neither can you find it as it relates to your experience that he is tomorrow's God. He says, like he said to Moses long ago, I am that I am right now. Right now. God was never greater than he is right now. God will never be greater than he is right now. He is the God of the present. His Holy Spirit is the moving, living, energizing, creating, baptizing, healing, refreshing Holy Spirit right now in this service right here. And he is here right now. Power of the Holy Spirit. I care. I don't know where you are this morning, but I sense the dynamics of his Holy Spirit flowing. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm a super spiritual person. It just means that my God is a faithful God. And he promises us, gives us that promise. Thank God for the experiences of the past. But we're not there now. We can't put God in a box of the past. Nor can we confine God to a method of the past. God moves right now where we're living right now. Are you open to the power of his Holy Spirit this morning? Thank God for the experience of the past. But I thank God this morning that he is here now. The power of the Holy Spirit. I'm asking the musicians to come. I'm sharing with you God's word. The key truth this morning that I've shared with you is that just as John, 50 years after Pentecost, needed to be immersed in the power of the Holy Spirit afresh, so do you this morning. So do you in this service today. Need to be immersed afresh in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now maybe there's some of you here that's never experienced that experience for the first time when you're totally immersed into the Spirit's power and the Spirit takes over everything that you are, even your intellect. You may say, I don't want to speak another tongue. You leave that to the Holy Spirit and to God. Leave that to the Holy Spirit. What I'm asking this morning and believing for, that God will immerse you power of his Holy Spirit. I'm satisfied to leave all that stuff with God. Hallelujah. 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 Do you believe that God is sovereign? Yes. You believe that he's here right now?
Thank you.
I'm not going to ask you to stand to your feet. And I'm going to ask you, every one of you, I'm going to ask you something else this morning. I believe in being intensive. Every one of you this morning that you feel that you need a fresh immersion in the Holy Spirit. I don't care if it's for the first time. I don't care if it's 50 years ago or 10 years ago or if it's never happened before. I'm believing God to do exactly that for you this morning. As I said in my opening statement, I have no magic formula. I guarantee you that I won't push any of you on the floor. But if God wants to put you on the floor, that's fine. That's fine with me. Probably you need to go onto the floor. Probably God needs to do that for you, to take some of the rigidity out of you, you know. But let God be God. That's what I'm saying. Would you stand, please? Would you stand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you worship God? Well, I'm going to ask you as the music begins playing, I'm going to ask you to leave and come down. Pastor asked me to do an altar call, and I always do. I believe in response to the word of God. And the rest is up to you, folks. All I am absolutely, certainly sure of is that God, by the Holy Spirit, is right here now in this service. Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. But through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have been made worthy to have this wonderful relationship with your Holy Spirit. prayer of our hearts this morning, Lord, as we come before you. We thank you for your word. So, Lord, may it be said, the heavens were open, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus. So as the music begins this morning, they begin to lead us in worship. Will you leave where you are? Walk down here. Stand totally open to God. You have stuff in your life that you need to cleanse away. He is the cleanser of the temple of Israel. Say, wash me in your blood and immerse me in your power right now, Lord. As we sing it, would you respond?
Come, Holy Spirit.
Yes, make it your prayer.
I need thee.
Thank you, Jesus. Your need this morning.
Oh, come.